Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hey, Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast fans, Michael Beller here. Just want to give you a quick disclaimer on today's episode. We hit stop on the record button, literally, I am not exaggerating, literally, about 1 minute before Mike Tomlin announced that Mason Rudolph would be starting in place of Ben Roethlisberger in Week 17. So just take that into account as you are listening to our talk on the Steelers and the playoff implications and people being rested and all that. Enjoy the episode. Everybody, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 29th. Most of you have already had your fantasy leagues finish. If you have just coming off a championship, congratulations. Some of you playing into Week 17, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that here today. I am Michael Beller. I am joined by Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston. Of course, we are with you all the way through the NFL season here. We're not taking Week 17 off at the Athletic. First, Jake, how'd your week 16 go? Any of those championships come through for you?
No. Not only did Dave Ganos not take it easy on me as I limped into the CBS IDP final, he just doubled me up by scoring like 230 to 120 or 130. I don't know. He obliterated me. Like, he wasn't even nice. I told you it wasn't going to be good when we talked last week. I had so many injuries. Lost the other one. Actually, was closer than I thought it was, but all you need to know about that one was that Josh Allen scored more than my next two closest players combined. So that was the Marvin Hall team I was telling you about that I was desperate for. And then the other one, I didn't even have a chance. I forget. It's one of those stupid deep leagues that I don't even care about that much. It's because, look, I understand it. Just as a quick sidebar for that, I understand the appeal for people that want to play in 14 and 16, and then you even see some people like 18 and 24 leagues and stuff like that. And I always push against it because I know everybody wants to go deeper, but I say just make the rosters deeper and the starting positions deeper, because it just adds so much luck if you lose one or two key players because there's already nothing on waivers to start. So I understand why people want to do it, but I'd rather keep it at 12 and just expand the rosters.
Yeah, I am with you there wholeheartedly. I've told you guys this before, but my favorite league, my home league, it's 10 teams, super flex, two running backs, three receivers, and two flex positions in addition to the super flex spot. So we go very deep in our starting rosters with just 10 teams, and I think that's a really fun way to play. Brandon, we know you didn't have any championship teams. We talked about this last week, but those one-and-done leagues you like to bring up, how'd that go for you week 16?
Yeah, so I'm in, it's like a 35 team or, you know, manager pool, and I was ninth going into the week, and I traveled a little bit over the holidays, and I totally forgot to turn in my lineup until just before the afternoon, and thank God I hadn't used Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams yet. Oh. I hadn't used like Miles Sanders. I actually put together, based on the afternoon games and the Monday night games, a pretty solid lineup. So I think I'm still in good shape to maybe finish in the top five and get a little bit of a return out of things.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. since I asked you guys, this was really all just a setup for me to get to gloat. Three championships for me in this 2020 season. So feeling very good on this Tuesday as we head into week 17.
Except flex.
And my flex, I you know, whined jokingly about this on Twitter, but my flex league,
I saw that.
The semifinals, that was Alvin Kamara, Devontae Adams team that would have run away with the championship.
You would have cruising to the title. Yeah. And speaking of, David Gatos won the auction and that too. Dave Gatos had a nice year.
Look at that. Hey, congratulations, Ganos. Always happy to see a friend do well. And hopefully those of you out there pulled home at least one championship, maybe multiple championships, and had some fun along the way. And week 17 here as well. You know, actually, I make fun of Brandon all the time for being a week 17 championship kind of person. But I do play in a league that goes to week 17, lost to the semifinals, unfortunately, so won't be playing this season in this week 17, but we know some of you out there will be. We're going to just take a look at some week 17 general issues. The first big one, the reason why people don't play in week 17 typically is because teams are going to rest. Teams have locked up playoff berths. Teams have locked up non-playoff berths. Whatever you want to talk about, players are going to rest this week. The obvious one this season is the Kansas City Chiefs. Nothing to play for. If you've been riding Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce all year, they're part of the reason you're in this spot now. You don't have him in Week 17. What do you even do, Jake?
I will say for people, you would still want to play Week 17. I do have one league I do this in where we still have our championship in Week 16, but then we have a DFS. Everybody plays DFS in Week 17 against each other.
That's cool.
And there's an extra $50 on the line, so you could do that. Just to throw that out there is a way to get both involved. But in any case, you're going to be kind of, unless you planned ahead, kind of scraping because it's not even a great week for streamers. I only listed six, and I don't want to start Cam Newton against the Jets, mostly just because, you know, if Brandon said the entire year, it's running touchdown or nothing, and the Jets are solid against the run. So Kirk Cousins against Detroit looks nice. Baker, he gets his receivers back, hopefully, and a win, you know, potential win and go into the playoffs against Pittsburgh. Rivers, Dalton, and Trubisky. Those are the six that I mentioned. Outside of that, if you have to dig elsewhere, I pray for you, and this is exactly why you probably hate Week 17 more than anybody else.
Yeah, Brandon, I mean, the quarterbacks Jake mentions, I mean, what do you do at tight end, right? You've been playing Travis Kelce as basically a wide receiver one at your tight end spot. What are you looking
at
here
worse.
Now? Yeah.
Yeah, then you find out what it's like for most everybody else in your league. You're in the back end tight end one waiting pool there, and you're trying to figure something out, but that's kind of where you're at. I mean, that's what you're doing. I haven't done my rankings yet. I'm not going to be able to throw out a bunch of guys that you could potentially play, but you're looking for somebody that's going to get some volume targets. And who's the backup in Kansas City?
You want to know the four in the waiver wire?
Yeah, tell them to me.
You know the four, you should remember, you edited it as Jimmy Graham, Irv Smith, Schultz, and Herndon. That's what it is. It's that bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy Graham scored 2 touchdowns last week.
No, and I switched him. It was originally going to be Cole Kmet again, but seeing as how Jimmy Graham's annoyingly popped back up and ruined
good.
Cole Kmet the past two, I know, the yep. past 2 weeks, we've been all over Cole Kmet. Now watch. Everybody's going to go back to Jimmy Graham, and it's going to be a Cole Kmet game.
I mean, that's actually the perfect way to dive into Week 17 is being able to say it's a Cole Kmet game. That is Week 17, I think, in a nutshell, at least from the fantasy world. We're also looking at, I mean, how worried are we guys about the Bills, the Steelers, and the Bucks? Those are three teams that really don't have much to play for this week. I mean, at least everyone else has like maybe a little something to play for.
No, what I was going to say, so I mentioned this in the waiver column with a couple players and other teams too, is I think those are the three that I mentioned. I said they could bench them in the first quarter, second quarter, third. Like, you just don't know you're going to get a full game because they don't care about seedings now because they're all locked in. It's either two or three for Buffalo and Pittsburgh. It's 5, 6, or 7 for Tampa. Arian said he's going to play his guys, but you know, there was a blowout last week. So, you know, if it's a blowout, good, you got your points. But what if they're just kind of up and he's like, well, screw it. Why play him in the second half? So those are the three obvious ones. But I say more than that, and here's why, Mike, is because Las Vegas, Josh Jacobs and Derek Carr have been banged up. Why play them? You have nothing to play for. Austin Eckler missed most of the season. What if you're worried about him? Keenan Allen, what about Mike Williams? And that's the thing. It's like there's a lot of teams that aren't in the playoffs and don't even have spoiler to play for, like the Chargers. The Chargers-Chiefs game might be 13-10 with Chad Henne out there. Like, why risk it? I mean, the only person that's probably playing hard out there is going to be Herbert and then whoever wide receivers he has. So that's why I say there's more at stake here. There's some injuries where players have been playing through things that, you know, you still have to worry about that. Like, if the Cowboys have won, you would have to be concerned that does Zeke even play the full game.
Right,
so
right.
Make sure when you're making your lineups, you understand that some of these guys might not, play, and if they do, they just might get sat early.
Well, what if we don't hear anything? I mean, Brandon, let's say, right, I mean, we know Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Tampa, they've got nothing to play for, especially Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Tampa, you can maybe construct an argument whereby you say they want to win because they want the 5 seed because then they get the NFC East team in the first round matchup, and I think even that's a little bit of a stretch. But, like, if you don't hear anything, do you trust playing Josh Allen this week? Do you trust playing Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson? I mean, how do you feel about the players on these teams if their coaches don't come out and say, we're resting these guys?
Well, I think one thing, like Pittsburgh, man, they were stuck in the mud for several weeks, and they started to get on track last week. And I wouldn't be surprised if they want to get a little bit more of that before they before they take the week off. I mean, you can't just say that all their problems were fixed in one game. It'd be nice for them to see that go for another game as well. Maybe see Ben Roethlisberger get the ball deep again against the Browns. But one thing I'll just say in general is that we're kind of talking 10,000-foot view. And Week 17 is about being as myopic and not caring about anything other than the exact lineups, you know, potentials that you have and the guys there, and really focusing in on them and you know, eliminating all the other noise and just figuring out what is going to be your best lineup with the guys that you have and preparing for contingencies, you know, and looking for guys that, you know, will play in the afternoon games. If you have morning games where you might get in trouble, where someone's like a late scratch or you're starting to hear something where things are going south with a guy you're planning on playing, just being ready to pivot if you have to. And so it's,
well,
you know,
let me ask you this, and I'll jump in. Mike, you can answer this question too. I'll give you a for instance. Let's say to your question, Mike, we don't have an answer. And let's say we get all the way up. Josh Jacobs was limited in practice all week. And this is a scenario. It's just the things we see every single year. Let's say we got Josh Jacobs limited all the way through Friday. He's got Denver. You don't know if he's playing the full game, or your choice is Malcolm Brown with Wolford at quarterback. That's like the decision some people would have to make. Like, which way would you go? Would you go Malcolm Brown with a potential terrible offense and terrible performance? Or would you go the Josh Jacobs, who any given week you would always say Josh Jacobs over Malcolm Brown? But that's like a scenario. Like, which way would you go, Frunston?
I'm probably going to go Malcolm Brown, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess he's been scoring touchdowns. He gets most of the load of that Rams. We've been, you know, waiting for someone to just get the majority of the carries all year long. And it happened a couple times with Cam Akers. It was glorious. And, you know, Malcolm Brown is not the talent of Cam Akers. But, yeah, I think, you know, honestly, Josh Jacobs could get his 34 yards, get to 1,000, and then this might just call good with him. You know?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, and then you have the other ones, like DeAndre Swift with him, with his injuries and him being the future. Do they just say, well, let's just ride out Adrian Peterson, revenge game? Or do you go like Wayne Gallman and get some guaranteed touches? Like, that's just the frustrating thing a lot of people are going to have to decide on.
We do have three games without any playoff implications: Vikings, Lions, Raiders, Broncos, Jets, Patriots. I mean, is there any angle to take on those games? Is that sort of what we're already talking about here?
I love looking at incentives, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. I like looking for players
that are
playing for incentives like that.
Those
sometimes
gets an incentive for 1,000 yards, but they also have the number one seed on the line.
They're still playing for a bye.
Yeah. I just meant Tyler Lockett's also involved as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a
lot. Yeah, no doubt. And Seahawks should be playing well. I mean, they will have some early game ramifications, but I think the Seahawks are going to be playing for the most part all the way through.
Oh yeah, well they're still playing for the bye, and the NFL has done
Green
a very
Bay,
good job, as they've
Seattle
done in
Saints.
Yeah, they've done in Week 17 for a few years now of keeping the times flexible and moving it around so teams don't know already, don't have their result in hand from someone who just happened to play earlier than they did. And so all those teams, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Seattle, are all playing in that late 325.
Well, speaking of all that, I've just given you a heads up. Since this is our only show this week, you're going to get a very annoyed and angry Jake next week if the Cowboys lose to the Giants and the Washington loses on Sunday Night Football and the Giants get in at 6-10. I am going to be.
You don't want to see a 6-10 Giants playoff team. You'd rather get, like, what are they lined up for right now? Like the sixth pick or something?
Eighth. It could have been so much better, but you know, they went on that wonderful little hot stretch there, which I told you at the time was the most meaningless thing ever. And oh my God. Anyway.
That's how things go in the AFC East this season. And this is really the perfect way to end it, with these three bad teams that are guaranteed to finish under 500, all still alive for the, not only a playoff berth, but for winning their division and hosting a home game in the first round of the playoffs.
Hey, the Panthers did it at 7-9 and won their playoff game at 7-9. Can we get Washington
Seahawks,
to 7-9?
Beat the Saints.
Seahawks were 8-8.
No, they were 7-9.
Yeah, they were 7-9.
Panthers were 8-8, and the Seahawks were 7-9. Either way, both those teams won their.
I believe the Panthers were 7-8-1, and I only know that because I think I saw that on a broadcast this week.
That's what it was. I knew they only had 7 wins. There you go.
That was Marshawn Lynch's first season. That was a Beastquake game.
Beastquake run.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So hey, maybe there's something in store for, maybe the Buccaneers don't want to be the 5 seed. we think they want to be.
Oh yeah, the 15 people in the crowd stir things up for them.
Honestly, yeah. Guys, if the Washington football team played Tampa, I would give them a chance just because Tom Brady and that pressure would not be a good mix. So you never know. Sometimes the matchups, even on a bad team, can work out well for them.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, you talk about having contingency plans, and there's something we might have to think about, and I guess you might not actually be able to adjust to these before you set your lineups, but we know that the Saints and Seahawks, right, we're talking about them, still having something to play for, but what happens if they go into halftime and their games are close and they see that the Packers are beating the Bears 24-0, right? And so the Packers have the one seed locked up, and they really have nothing to play for anymore. I mean, are you at all – does that make you – I mean, it's not going to make you think about Alvin Kamara, right, Brandon? But does it make you think about Drew Brees a little bit harder? Does it make you think about Emmanuel Sanders a little bit harder? If the Bears can't keep things close with the Packers, do those teams pull their guys off the field in the second half?
Yeah, I think you do a little bit. I mean, wait, so if the Packers win, they get the one seed, obviously, but the Saints and the Seahawks will still be playing for the two home games and the number two seed, right? I mean, that's still going to be in play for them.
That would still be in play for them, yes.
Yeah, which is meaningful. So I think you worry about. So here's the deal: you worry about if they start pulling players because the game's been decided early along in the contest, like the Monday night game with the Bills. Like, you know, they could have pulled Josh Allen in the third quarter and been just fine. But Josh Allen, up to that point, put up monster numbers. So the game's decided in favor of the team that's going to the playoffs. They probably put up really good numbers. I think we're going to talk about this with the Ravens here, going against Cincinnati and their 12.5-point favorites. But if they're pulling Lamar Jackson early, it's because they're blowing him away. That means that Lamar Jackson put up a lot of, a good amount of numbers in a shorter period of time. But I think, for the most part, I'm not worried too much about the Saints and the Seahawks. They're going to have to play for something in those later games.
I think the same probably applies to the Titans, right, Jake? I mean, they could have their playoff berth locked up going into their game, but they, no matter what, will have a division to play for. If they lose and the Colts win, then the Colts are AFC South champs. The Titans still need a win to be AFC South champs. So even though they could be locked into the playoffs, depending on what happens in the 1 p.m. Eastern games, if Miami loses or Cleveland loses and they have that available to them, they still got to be playing for the playoffs, right? We should be expecting a full game out of Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis.
Yeah, and also because the Colts play at 4 o'clock too.
Right,
and the other thing is, you have to remember, there's a lot of teams that started doing it where they don't even put the scores up. And you start applying the don't pay attention so the players don't lose focus or don't start to have that happen.
You tell me
them.
There's not a coach on the sidelines with an iPhone looking at scores.
I mean, I got to tell you, if I'm a coach, I'm not doing it. And I'm scouting my team to make sure they're not doing it. It depends on who the team is. We've seen it before. We talked about it. I remember watching games last year where there was like a team, I want to say it was even the Saints maybe, that was like, they weren't showing it, obviously fans. Remember the fans cheered when something happened towards the end of the game? And it was like something that had to trickle down to the team because they were keeping it off the score. And what you're saying, they were on their phones.
Uh-huh.
But in any case, I figured you remember because you remember everything. But look, I'm not that concerned about it. With scoreboard watching, that's probably like a 5% care in my mind.
Yeah.
Like that's nothing. Like I would be concerned, like I said, about the nothing to play for, is the seeding's already set, or like, does it really matter if you want the 2 or 3 seed? Is it 2 home games? Yeah, it's a little bit, but are you going to really kill your players just to get that? 5, 6, 7, do you avoid this person, that person, whatever? Those are more the things. And those outside of like the Chiefs situation is still secondary. Like it's going to be, we're resting our players. you might have to worry about players being rested, and then scoreboard watching is like way down the list.
Is there anyone who gets like a bump because of this? I mean, like we said, the only one we know for sure are going to rest are the Chiefs. We think there's good reason to believe that Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Tampa will all, maybe not, maybe they treat it like a preseason game where they get their guys a series. And I think you make a good point, Brandon, about Pittsburgh maybe wanting to keep things rolling a little bit since they were so stuck in muck and mire for 3.5 straight games before finally getting going in the second half of that win over the Colts this past week. But is there anyone on those teams who benefits from, like, does Anthony McFarland suddenly become someone who we think about starting in week 17? Or are you feeling better about Devin Singletary getting some run or getting more run in this game? Anyone jump out at you from this group of teams, Brandon?
Maybe like Gus Edwards, you know, the backup in a game against Cincinnati where, man, that could just be a whole second half of just Gus between the tackles. You know, someone like that. I mean, I haven't really, you know, drilled down into these, but he's someone that jumps out at me. And just on the Tennessee thing, they're coming off a 41-14 loss to the Packers. Like, I think a lot of coaches are big about having solid momentum going into the postseason. And so I would think like a Tennessee is going to come out and really try to have a, you know, have a game they can feel good about when they head in there. And, you know, maybe Derrick Henry gets his 223 yards to get to 2,000 along the way. It's Houston after all.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I agree with you there completely on Tennessee. I just think we needed to mention the possibility of it. Yeah, what's up, Jake?
I was going to say, there's a handful. I mentioned him in the waivers. Like, you could look at, well, Zach Pascal has actually also been relevant, right. But also yeah. Michael Pittman could have a concussion, so he comes into play. Yeah. To go down the list, I already mentioned the Chargers guys. Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, but you have to remember, they're playing with Chad Henne, and right. What if they even decide, like, let's not risk Hardman, like that type of situation. Further down the list is the people like Cam Sims. He has something to play for, even if Terry McLaurin comes back. Gabriel Davis, I listed for the Bills because Cole Beasley got banged up, and even if John Brown comes back, they probably don't roll him out there for much in week 17, right before they hit the playoffs. So there are a few out there. And then, as I mentioned with the Josh Jacobs situation, I put a little small list of three running backs. I said the potentially relevant, if you get any news that the lead might sit with Devontae Booker for the Raiders, Kalen Ballage for the Chargers, and Adrian Peterson for the Lions. There could be players that come into play with later news in the week, or even some of these situations, as you mentioned, that, you know, early rest.
You mentioned John Wolford a little earlier, getting the start for the Rams. They obviously have something to play for. I mean, if they lose, they are in serious risk of being left out of the playoffs. And this is a team people were talking about maybe going to the Super Bowl just a few weeks ago. But if they lose and the Bears beat the Packers, the Rams are not even in the playoffs, let alone going to the Super Bowl. So John Wolford as the quarterback, are you suddenly now scared of playing Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods? What do you think about this, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm scared on both sides here. And so, yeah, I mean, Robert Woods, this could be ugly for the Rams. This could be, I mean, we just saw them score 9 points with Jared Goff. I mean, he wasn't hurt the whole game, but they weren't doing well when he was healthy there. So this Rams offense has struggled a little bit of late, and I imagine it would continue to do so with injuries to Daryl Henderson and Jared Goff and all that. I guess I feel better about Cooper Kupp than I would Robert Woods, but I'm not sure I'm going to have either one of them ranked very high this week when the dust settles here.
Jake, where are you at on the Rams this week?
Avoiding as much as possible outside of Malcolm Brown. And honestly, that's why I brought him up earlier, because this feels like it might be one of those Giovanni Bernards and the Devontae Booker situation where, yeah, he's going to get 90% of the carries, but does it matter if the team only scores 10 points? Like that kind of situation. So You got to play Malcolm Brown, but I would avoid, it's crazy to say, I would completely avoid Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods if possible, but I would. And I know, I'm like, look, John Wolford, like, I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but, you know, he was a surprise to be a backup in the NFL to begin with. Like, that's the thing. Like, that, like, there's probably an argument to be made that, like, other better, they went and picked up Blake Bortles. That's all you need. If Blake Bortles makes an appearance in this game, I wouldn't be shocked.
Give us a little bit of context on what avoiding Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods at all costs means. Does it mean like you're playing, I don't know, Chad Hansen over that?
I play Sterling Shepard. I play Sterling Shepard, and Sterling Shepard's just been mostly a floor guy this season, even as their number one. I'd play Pascal if there's no Michael Pittman. I'm just going down my waiver list. Yeah. I'd go Chenault. I'd go Michael Gallup. I'd go Aguilar, depending on what happens with that situation. If there's no Keenan Allen and no Mike Williams, I'd play both the Chargers wide receivers just because, again, Yeah, sure, they can do something, but you still have to look at who the quarterback is. I trust Justin Herbert and Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson more than I trust Wolford to do anything. Honestly, if you told me Blake Bortles was starting this game, I'd feel better about Kupp and Woods. I don't know what the hell Wolford is.
Yeah,
not a big AAF fan, I take it.
I mean, and how much credence can you put into those games? Wasn't his touchdown to interception ratio not even that great to begin with in that?
I don't think I watched 1 minute of AAF football.
I just remember seeing the stats. Look, we'll do this live. We'll get the John Wolfer stats. Can we get him on Pro Football? No.
They don't even
show up on Pro Football Reference because
they got to show up somewhere. Look, Jake, you look.
Michael
for
and I will talk amongst ourselves.
Look for those stats really quick. I want to ask Brandon about Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, here you go.
Table those for a second. Let's talk about Mitch for a second. He could be in the AAF one of these days. You never know if it comes back. Mitch Trubisky. I mean, is this another QB1 week for him? This is. Basically, the Bears got to feel like winning we're in, losing we're going home. So. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, with what we've seen over the last month here, are you feeling good about him, Brandon, rolling him out there in this Week 17 game?
QB1 seems a little bit strong to me. I don't think I'll be ranking him quite that high. He's been fine, but he's also had a really, really, really easy schedule. It's been Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. He had a great game against Green Bay the last time they faced each other with the 3 touchdowns. Did have the 2 interceptions, though. The yardage hasn't been big. He hasn't been running a ton. Like, I feel like there is a very obvious downside to Mitch Trubisky this week because Green Bay will come out and just, you know, want to solidify their spot. So they're not going to want to lose to Chicago. They're not going to take this game lightly. So that being the case, I think it's, I'm more afraid of the floor than I'm excited about the ceiling.
All that Mitch production came in garbage time, too. That was a game that the Packers were up like 24-0 in the blink of an eye, something like that. And yes, the Packers have something very much to play for in this game, getting that one seed, getting that bye, getting some time off. Jake, give us those stats and give us where you are on Mitch Trubisky early on in this Week 17.
Well, so this is going to be the craziest. This is 2020 in a nutshell. I am going to have to go back and watch some 2019 preseason games because I want to see what Wolford looks like. Because so what he did in the AAF in 8 games, 1,660 yards, 16 yards, 14 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. The 14 touchdowns led the league. Really? Wow. Really? So in games.
I'm doing 8 games, 1,600. That's 200 yards a game. That's really not that good.
He never attempted more than 33 passes. A lot of low 20s. I'm assuming just like their games aren't as much. But the one thing and why I said I have to go back to the preseason is because he at least in the AAF too had a nice yards per attempt at 7.8 and almost had 100 passer rating. But the preseason from 2019 was 249 and 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Passer rating of 95.7. So again, it's preseason. I don't know how much we're going to be able to glean from it. I'll go back and look. I'll see what we can find. Maybe I'll feel a little bit better about Kupp and Woods before the end of the week.
Kurt Warner 2.0, maybe?
AAF, not arena. Come on.
In the right jersey to do it. In the right jersey to do it, right?
That's right.
Just handing the torch over.
You know my feelings of Mitch is I've been fine with him for a lot of weeks. It's just you always know what happens when things go south for Mitch. And also in this game, David Montgomery set up for another just run it down their throats because it's the Packers. Everybody runs down their throats. The one good thing about it is I was doing a show yesterday with Joe Holkos, the DFS show, and it's funny. You know, I'm somebody who has been out there. So Joe, for context, Joe Holkos is one of the people who, when he plays DFS, he doesn't care about cornerback matchups because he's on the side of you can find ways to get away from them. I don't play into it, blah, blah, blah. There's so much other things when I do my DFS. And I said, I wouldn't ignore it completely. And we've had this discussion the entire year because all I kept bringing up the entire year was Jair Alexander every single week. I told him, don't play Marvin Jones that 1 week because he's getting Jair Alexander. Here's the one person it doesn't matter for. Allen Robinson scored 2 touchdowns in that game. Alexander wasn't on him the entire game. And it also doesn't matter because Mitch Trubisky's going to give him, whoever the quarterback is going to give him double-digit targets, and Allen Robinson can overcome it. The problem is there's a lot of wide receivers that can overcome Alexander. DK Metcalf can. You know, Tyreek Hill, we could go down the list. We could probably name off 15 wide receivers that can overcome Alexander for a full game. The problem is a lot of teams don't send double-digit targets his way because they don't risk it, and they have other options that might be close to on par of that talent level.
the Bears go to Allen Robinson. So I'm still playing Allen Robinson. I think David Montgomery set it for another great game. And Trubisky would probably be mid to high QB2 like he's been for a couple weeks now.
Dallas looking good, you guys, after what we saw from them in Week 16.
Please win.
Game against the Eagles, right? Yeah, there you go. They got a big, huge fan in Jake Seeley, Dallas Cowboys. People are going to be looking for teams they know are playing. They know our plan. They know their plan, everyone. That's what they're doing. That is going to be true of the Cowboys. So, Andy Dalton, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. Jake, do we feel good about these guys this week?
Absolutely. The one thing about them is in everybody's mind, this is the perception thing. Everybody feels like Gallup's this guy. He's not. What did I tell you when they first came in? What's the truth still as today? He targets all three almost the exact same. It's actually a one target difference between the three of them. The reason it feels that way is because Gallup's the best in air yards per target. So if that's what you're looking for and you're looking for the big play, all three are in play against the Giants because, to go back to the Alexander comparison, they have Bradberry. But as Marquise Brown showed last week, you can still have a play designed to beat Bradberry when he's your only significant defensive threat. Not to mention, is Bradberry on Gallup? Is he on Cooper? Bradberry can't cover all three of them. Like, he can't. He's got to pick one. And if he shadows one, that's going to probably be unfortunate for whoever it is, because that goes better into the example I was giving. But I have no problem playing all of them. I was higher than most on Zeke last week, and I still wasn't expecting that. The kick in the pants of, hey, I might be job jeopardy here, seems to have really gotten to him. And honestly, that game off, he looked fresher than he has since the middle of the season. So I think you load up everybody, and I think Dalton's a great streamer.
Can I bring up a note about Gallup? He did not go among the top 52 receivers drafted in our 2021 mock draft that we just put up on the site, and CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper were top 20 wide receivers. I think it was egregious. Like, I mean, Dak back, Michael Gallup seems like he's got to go in the top 50, right?
Yeah.
He was left out with Dak.
I wasn't really. I mean, I look back.
He's two good games with Dak.
Yeah,
Dak,
but that was kind of
five games.
Yeah, they only played five games.
Well, no, but they were off touchdowns.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, that's Gallup, though, too, right? He's not, like, the week-to-week. I mean, it's going to be the spikes, and it's going to be the highs and the lows.
Does he probably belong in the 40s? Sure, but I think at least this is where
I'm not saying that he should have been a lot higher. I'm saying he should have been drafted.
I could see it, but I could also see – basically what I'm getting at is I could see the case against him. I could see he was the third choice the entire time Dak was playing. He had the one game against your Seahawks, and that's probably sticking out of your mind, where he blew up. Every other game was single digits. I don't think he even – did he even top – Beller probably knows. Did he even top 7 or 8 points in that stretch before Dak went down except for that one game? I don't know. I know it was miserable, and that's why, is because he was the odd man out, and CeeDee Lamb was just taking over. And I think that's what's in mind. I think everybody's thinking year two of CeeDee Lamb, at least I am as well. Year two of CeeDee Lamb is going to be amazing, because CeeDee Lamb is amazing. And now if you're talking about the third option, it keeps coming back to Dak Prescott can go ballistic, but Dak Prescott was going ballistic and still left out Gallup all but one game.
First five games of the season, the five games that Dak played, you had 3 for 50, 2 for 58, then the big one against Seattle, 6 for 138 and a touchdown, 2 for 29, 4 for 73 for Michael Gallup.
Okay, so yeah,
so very much a Tyler Lockett kind of five game stretch there.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair if Dak Prescott's back in Dallas next season. Let's get one more Week 17 rankings question in here. San Francisco, obviously they are done, but they were a plucky spoiler in Week 16, beating Arizona, and part of the reason there was Jeff Wilson. I mean, Jeff Wilson, is he locked into our Week 17 lineups, you guys?
Yes. He's top 10.
Top 10.
He's just almost like a lock to score a touchdown. When he's getting that kind of work, it's just – you know, you just feel like there's just no way he's not scoring. Seattle's tough. They're tough against running backs. But, I mean, this is just Jeff Wilson. You know, look, get him 70 yards and a touchdown seems like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, we're going to have a little roundtable related to that 2021 mock draft that you referenced, Brandon, and I just wrote up some answers for it. And I think Jeff Wilson, he was someone who I almost mentioned for one of the answers. You will be able to read that on The Athletic very soon. And I think he's going to be someone interesting that we consider in 2021 with all the injuries that Raheem Mostert has had. Obviously, it's going to depend on what happens in San Francisco, yada, 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 and all that stuff. But someone who will be interesting to take a look at in 2021.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, we're going to put a bow on things right here. Brandon, giving you a hard time all season, especially as we've gotten closer to the end of the year with you having Week 17 championships. So Jake and I will reserve judgment. We're going to take a seat back. You just go on your little spiel here. Why is Week 17 worth playing?
Okay, well, number one, it's meat on the bone. If you don't, who likes to sit out a regular season game and just didn't watch? It's crazy, but that's just kind of generally what football is. It's unpredictable. We like to try to throw kickers out, and now we're talking about defenses out, and because it's all too random, it's like, you know what? You could start one quarterback, one running back, and one wide receiver, and you're still going to get randomness. That's the nature of football. So embrace it instead of trying to, you know, trying to lessen it. There's always going to be unpredictability with it. Second of all, I think, you know it. At the beginning of the season, you know you're playing through Week 17. So if you're kind of trending towards the playoffs, you start making contingency plans early. You start adding a Phillip Rivers if you have a Pat Mahomes. Yeah, I mean, in the league that I'm in, Rivers was available this week. So you got an option to play over Pat Mahomes, and a pretty good one at that. I've been doing this forever. It's over 20 years with this league. No one's ever complained about playing in Week 17. Once you kind of are committed to it, you just roll with it. And, we pay out 50, 30, 20, so we don't pay out a bunch of different people. The top two teams get 80% of the prize pool, plus we pay out weekly high scores. So if you have a dominant team all year long, you're getting paid. And it's, whoever wins in Week 16 when it's you're playing for real, get to move on to a Week 17 thing. And you have to kind of show your managerial acumen, and that's part of the whole deal. And like I said, those two teams that were the two best through 16 weeks get 80% of the prize pool. So that being the case, no one's complaining about it. Mm-hmm. The only people that complain about it are the people that don't do it.
Jake, you convinced?
Absolutely not. I only have two things to say.
I will say, Jake, I don't hate your idea that if you don't play Week 17, make it an open to the league and have some kind of like a little side pot. That's fine. But at least it keeps you in the action.
I do only have two counterpoints, and they're both quick. One is, what was this entire show about? That's it. That's my only argument. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is, I got a text from Brandon last night asking me if I was submitting waivers. And I said, yes. And he put an eye roll emoji. And I said, I thought you liked Week 17. And he said, not if I'm not in it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I said earlier. It's like, at this point, if you're playing in Week 17, all this stuff is just noise. You really only care about, you're going to be cutting players that you would never have considered cutting. Like, mm-hmm. It is just fire drill time. And you're just like trying to figure out the best way to, put anything together. But are we ever better prepared for Week 17 than the 2020 year that it was? I mean, that's true. I mean,
unless you took Travis Kelce at the 1-2 turn.
Yeah, there you go.
How about the person who took Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce at the 1-2 turn? They probably hate Week 17.
Oh, they were, and they probably already have their championship in week 16 because they're smart. They're smart, obviously.
All right, guys. Well, week 17 definitely does matter in the NFL world, especially this year. I mean, I've been, I'm 36 years old. So what, I've been paying attention to football in a way that I actually knew what I was paying attention to for, 26, 25 years, something like that. And I cannot recall a year where we went into week 17 with this many things still, this many balls still in the air with respect to the playoffs. So with everything that's at stake in this week 17, I know this isn't a fantasy thing, but I think it's a fun way to sign off for the three of us on this 2020 season. What are your week 17 predictions? Who ends up in the playoffs? How did things shake out? So we still have the NFC last two spots to be decided with the Cardinals, Rams, and Bears competing, and then everything going on in the AFC. All those 10-win teams coming into this week, we still have one division to be decided in the AFC South, and all three wild cards, all of these teams still alive. How are things going to shake out? Jake, why don't you give us your look first?
So the AFC, I sadly, if I could pick who I want for entertainment purposes, I would love to see Philip Rivers and the Colts not play. I'm tired of watching Philip Rivers. I'm tired of watching his stupid shot put throw. And I've had enough of Philip.
Can I just say something on that note? The Colts are out of the playoffs right now, but they have an 80% chance of making the playoffs, which is insane.
There's so many easier paths of people losing. That's what, because the Browns
play the Steelers. One of the teams has to lose. If Miami,
Browns play the Steelers, the Dolphins play the Bills. Yeah, so. For entertainment purposes, I want to see it as it stands. I want to see the Browns in. I want to see the Ravens, Dolphins, and Titans. I want to see that happen. If nothing else, I want some playoff Fitz magic, because we know Tua is going to get yanked in every single game at some point, probably. Unfortunately, my prediction is going to be that the Dolphins don't make it, because I do think the Bills are going to play enough and are talented enough, even if they pull Josh Allen in the third quarter, that I'm just going to take the Bills straight up against over the Dolphins. And unfortunately, I think that means they miss. So, that's my prediction on the NFC side. The only spots remaining, I think it's going to be the Bears and the Cardinals. I think the Rams situation with Wolford is going to ruin them, even though I'm going to say
that means you have the Bears beating the Packers.
No, the Bears can lose and get in.
No, not if the Cardinals win.
Oh, if the Cardinals have to lose.
If the Cardinals have to lose.
Oh,
if
that's
Cardinals
right.
If the Cardinals win and the Packers win, it's Cardinals Rams.
All right, well, then I think the Bears are out. Unfortunately. Good news for the. I just don't see the Bears beating the Packers. And anyway, maybe if the Packers had already clinched that number one spot. Yeah, so unfortunately, I think the Bears are out. So there, you got that one. The NFC East, you ready to hit the edit button there?
Yes.
So the Giants are going to win because the Cowboys are going to shit the bed, and so are the Redskins, Washington football. This is how annoyed I am. And the dumb ass piece of crap Giants are going to be in the playoffs at 6-10.
I love it. We don't need to bleep. There's only one word that you really need a bleep button for. We can keep that in. I'm keeping.
We got to take out the mess up of the Washington football team. I can't. I made it the entire year. The week 17. Call them the damn Redskins.
There is no way there's only one word in the English language that we are bleeping on this show. I could think of many that you would be bleeping.
Well, one that you would maybe actually say.
I want the Rams out. I can't stand the Rams. Sean McVay gets under my skin. So, I think they're well set up to be knocked out by the Cardinals. And so as long as that happens.
Well, then you have the Bears winning. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, I know.
When we get knocked out, the Bears have to win.
Bears have to win.
I know. I really want that to happen. So that's my wish casting. I have a feeling that's not going to happen, though. I think the Packers will beat the Bears. And I'm with you. I think it's the Dolphins that lose out to the Colts. I hate to see that happen. I actually love watching the Dolphins, and I hate watching the Colts. I'm with Jake on that. But, 80% chance for the Colts, I think that's going to work out well for them.
Yeah, for the Dolphins to, the Dolphins can still get in with a win. The Dolphins are in the best position. If any of those teams lose, the Dolphins are still in.
Right, like if Ravens, Browns, or Ravens Titans.
The Ravens aren't going to lose, right? But like if the Browns lose to the Steelers, they're in. If the Colts somehow lose, the Dolphins are in.
Is it going to be the Browns? Does the bad luck continue?
I mean, it would be so Browns for them to have this season go 10-6 with a seventh team with the additional wild card and still not make the playoffs. That would be very, very Browns to happen.
Yeah, to go 10-4 and then lose to the Jets.
Lose to the Jets, lose to the hated Steelers rival in week 17 that kind of have nothing to play for anyways and not make the playoffs going 10-6 with three wild cards making the playoffs for the first time ever. I mean, that would be very, very Browns. But I feel like that's not going to happen. I'm going to make it unanimous. I think the Dolphins end up getting knocked out here and losing to the Bills, and everything else goes as expected. Baltimore wins. Cleveland beats a relatively uninterested Pittsburgh team. Indian, Tennessee take care of business, and that's what we're looking at. So we're looking at Tennessee in the AFC South, and I think that it's going to be Rams and Cardinals. I think the Cardinals beat the John Wolford-led Rams, and I just can't see the Bears hanging with the Packers having anything to play for. And as the resident Bears fan here, I will say I want them to be in the playoffs. I think it would be fun. And, you know, we're not like the Giants where we're going to fall into a top eight pick if they lose this game. They're still not going to have super meaningful of a pick if they do end up making it or not making it into the playoffs. But the nightmare scenario for the Bears is winning this game, getting a playoff spot that probably shouldn't exist anyways, getting just destroyed by the Saints in the first round of the playoffs, and then them deciding, you know what?
Or Seahawks.
Let's keep Ryan Pace around. We made the playoffs. We can't fire a playoff GM. Let's keep Ryan Pace around. Mitch turned a corner. Let's re-sign him. Let's bring him back on a reasonable 2 or 3 year deal. Like, that's the nightmare scenario for the Bears.
There's definitely a path.
Yeah.
Because Gettleman needs to be gone. Stop.
Exactly. Oh. There is a path for both of these teams where making the playoffs is detrimental to the long-term health of the franchise.
Look, it's the same thing, and I'm with you, Beller. So we're on the same page hating against our own teams. How about that for everybody out there rooting against our own teams in the final week of 2020?
Hey, if you could guarantee me that no matter what happens, Pace is still gone and the Bears aren't interested in bringing Mitch back, then let's do it. Let's go out. Let's beat the Packers. Let's make the playoffs. Let's have some fun. Let's lose 30 to the Saints or the Seahawks. If you could guarantee me that, I'm down. But if somehow...
don't drop me from the 8th pick to the 16th or 17th.
Well, yeah, see, the Bears don't have that. Yeah, you have that. That's a huge risk. The Bears don't really have... The pick difference is going to be close to negligible. It's not going to be totally negligible.
Wait, Beller, you seem to have a good grasp on this. How did the Seahawks get the Bears in the playoffs? Tell me how that happened, because that's the exact scenario I want to play out this week.
Seahawks get the number one seed.
No, because then they would have a bye.
Bears could get up to the number six seed.
The Bears could be the two. The Bears are the six if they win and Arizona wins. Then the Bears are the six.
Perfect.
Yeah, which would put them against the three.
Make that happen. Let's do that.
So if the Bears win, the Cardinals win, and the
the Seahawks could still win, and if the Saints win as well, Seahawks would still be number two.
Yeah,
Saints have
to
lose.
The Seahawks would be three. The Seahawks would be three in that scenario. The Seahawks are coming into this week as the three, and the Saints are the two.
So the Seahawks still have a tiebreak loss over the Packers if they tie?
No, we're saying so the Saints would play the Cardinals because the Cardinals were the seventh seed.
No. So what my scenario, if the Bears win, is what I was saying. So the Bears win, the Saints win. Saints get the number one seed. That's done. What I'm saying is that the Seahawks win and the Packers lose. Who gets the two? Who gets the three?
The Seahawks only get the
Seahawks have the tiebreaker over the Packers. So,
yeah, but that's but only head
so
to
they
head.
Could get the two.
But yeah, the Seahawks so could get the one two. If the Saints lose in that scenario as well.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Now that we broke that down for everybody.
Yeah, there we go. I think we nailed that. There is a right for the Bears and Seahawks to meet in the first round, Brandon. So you can cheer for that on Sunday.
I will be
cheering for, you know, that so long as Ryan Pace is still gone.
All right, hurry up and end the show so I can get your guys' advice on my survivor pick for week
17.
Getting
to choose another quarterback. This is a guy who has brought Mitch Trubisky
to Chicago. Oh, do you want to make this survivor
Mahomes
pick?
And Deshaun Watson. He brought Mike Glennon to Chicago. He brought Nick Foles to Chicago. Please do not let this man make another quarterback decision for the Chicago Bears franchise. Please. I don't care if they go 9-7 and make the playoffs. Do not let this person make another quarterback decision for the Bears. Is that good? Now can we end it? Now we're good?
I guess calling it a show?
Depends.
We are calling it a show
here.
We are calling it a show on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast for this week 17. Again, we have one more episode for you this week. That is Nando DeFino, Chris Vaccaro, and Eric Moody taking a look ahead to the 2021 season. That will be live on Wednesday the 30th. Then we come back for you next week. We'll be at you two times a week all the way through the Super Bowl. Just talking about some 2021 stuff. Next week, we'll take a look at fantasy playoff rankings. The three of us will do that. So a lot of fun still in store for you the rest of the football season, but we are calling it a 2020 regular season with this show right here. So for Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston, I am Michael Bellary. We want to thank you for listening all season long if you are still playing for a championship in Week 17. We wish you all the best of luck this week. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, have a great week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. See you later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.